Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, April 5th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. and China hail progress on trade talks.
We've agreed to far more than we have left to agree to.
Plus, President Trump picks Herman Cain for a seat on the Fed.
In the U.K., Theresa May pushes for a delay to Brexit.
And Wall Street awaits the March jobs report.
President Trump heads to the U.S.-Mexico border today. Plus, ex-Trump lawyer Michael Cohen offers hard drive files in a bid for leniency. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Gleyber Torres, the hero for the Yankees. Two homers and a win at Baltimore. The Mets' home opener shut out by Washington. The Islanders won. The Devils lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Flexport. Say hello to Flexport and the operating system for global trade, combining cloud technology and analytics, logistics infrastructure, and supply chain expertise. Learn more at flexport.com/OS.
And global stocks are edging higher this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%, while the CAC in Paris is up almost 0.1%, and the FTSE 100 is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.52%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.34%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $62.09 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% at $1.40 to $12.92.90 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1230 against the dollar. The yen at 111.69. Nathan.
Karen, progress. That's the word on trade talks between the U.S. and China.
We've agreed to far more than we have left to agree to.
President Trump talking up prospects for a, quote, monumental trade agreement.
I guess it is, if you think about it, the biggest deal ever made. There can't be a deal like this. No matter where you look, there can't be a deal like this. This is the granddaddy of them all.
At the same time, though, the president says a final agreement is likely several weeks away.
We also had notes of optimism out of Beijing overnight. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has details from Hong Kong.
Xinhua says President Xi Jinping is now pushing for a quick resolution to the talks. Vice Premier Liu He cited a new consensus on the text of a trade agreement. That likely means that the implementation and enforcement protocols are closer to getting done. Asian markets took the news in stride. On the one hand, a monumental deal sounds attractive, but then 4 to 6 weeks means further delay. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. Talks continue again today in Washington, though sources tell us there's no timetable for negotiations after that.
All right, turning to Brexit news now. Theresa May is asking the EU to delay its exit from the bloc until June. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. A second possible delay to Brexit. Prime Minister Theresa May has written to European Council President Donald Tusk to request a postponement to June 30th. She says she's aiming to avoid holding European elections next month. But the European Union's view is that a longer delay will probably be necessary. Remember, the other 26 countries need to agree to this, and France has already responded that it's premature to talk of an extension. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. We have some encouraging economic data out of Germany. The country's industrial output rose in February thanks to a surge in construction. German production increased 0.7%, beating estimates for a 0.5% gain.
Back here in the U.S., today's data is all about jobs. With the March employment report due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the preview. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, after a poor showing in February with only 20,000 jobs created, investors will be keenly focused on today's payrolls number. Anything like February, and that could further ignite fears of a recession. Economists are expecting a rebound. A Bloomberg survey puts the number at 177,000 non-farm payrolls. Average hourly earnings will take a back seat to the headline number. The earnings numbers so far haven't been feeding into inflation, and that has allowed the Federal Reserve to remain patient. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. President Trump says Herman Cain is being vetted for a seat on the Federal Reserve.
I find Herman to be an outstanding person, a truly outstanding individual. I would think he would do very well there.
Herman Cain is a former CEO and politician and co-founded a pro-Trump super PAC in September. Here with more on the president's pick is Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
He was a successful businessman, ran the Godfather's Pizza chain. He was a failed presidential candidate. 2010, he announced for president, dropped out a year later because sexual harassment allegations were raised against him. And it'll be interesting to see if those come back as part of the confirmation process. It was said that Trump was holding off on nominating him until his background checks were done. In theory, that may have been done and they may have cleared him.
Though Cain has no direct monetary policy experience, he served as chairman of the Kansas City Fed in the 90s.
Herman Cain now joins Heritage Foundation fellow Stephen Moore as the president's selections for two open seats on the Fed. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon is reacting to the selections.
You know, they don't seem like the right people to put on the Fed. I do think Jay Powell is very bright. And I think the Fed people, I don't agree with everything they've ever done, but I think they're very bright people trying to do the right stuff. I don't think they'd be pushed around very much by tweets or words and all that.
The selections of Cain and Moore differ sharply from the president's previous more orthodox selections for the Fed. Both will require Senate confirmation.
Meanwhile, central bank officials are pushing back against the idea of cutting rates, with Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker saying he doesn't see a cut this year or the next. At the same time, he doesn't see many hikes on the way either.
My outlook for rates remains at most, and I emphasize at most, one hike for this year, 2019, and at most one for 2020.
Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester, meanwhile, says it's possible they could be done raising rates, though if the economy performs as expected, she sees the Fed funds rate moving a bit higher than current levels.
And finally, on the corporate front, Samsung is reporting its worst drop in operating profit in more than 4 years. Falling memory chip prices and slowing smartphone sales led to a 60% decline in first quarter operating income. Shares of Samsung fell just 0.2% after already cutting its forecast for the period.
And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 38, and NASDAQ futures up about 15. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, the yield 2.52%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more of what's going on around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Good morning to you. President Donald Trump will visit the U.S.-Mexico border today in Calexico, California. The president will see a recently renovated section of the border wall. He had threatened to close down the border this week unless Mexico immediately halted all illegal immigration coming into the United States. But backtrack yesterday, the president is now talking tariffs rather than southern border closure. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president says over the past few days, Mexico has worked on enforcing its southern border, so he's shifting his threat to slapping a tariff on cars coming into the U.S. from Mexico.
I don't think we'll ever have to close the border because the penalty of tariffs on cars coming into the United States from Mexico at 25% will be massive.
Reaction from critics of that idea say what hurts several automakers from around the world, as well as thousands of their workers. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, the ACLU and the Sierra Club urged a federal judge to block the president from building a wall along the southern border using billions of dollars in taxpayer funds by declaring a national emergency. Canada is ratcheting up pressure on the U.S. to lift tariffs on steel and aluminum. It threatens to hold up the new USMCA trade deal. The U.S., Canada, and Mexico signed their new trade deal last November, but it still needs to be ratified by lawmakers in all three countries. President Trump's ex-personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, wants to give congressional Democrats more information in return for help in delaying the start of his 3-year prison sentence next month or even reducing it. Cohen's lawyers wrote to lawmakers that Cohen has recently been able to access a hard drive with 14 million files from his computers and telephones that they believe have significant value to investigators. NATO ministers met in Washington to mark the 70th anniversary of the alliance. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said ministers approved measures aimed at stopping Russian aggression.
In light of Russia's attacks on Western democracies, we agreed to improve our defenses against hybrid warfare, develop new strategies to deter it, and identify prompt and effective responses.
Pompeo appealed to members to stand together to confront challenges from not but limited to Russia, China, and Iran. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Yankees were in an early hole in Baltimore, down 3-0, later 4-1. One Yankee made sure they snapped out of their slump.
Swung on, hit high in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a three-run home run. The second home run of the day. It is Glaber Day. Oh, like a good Glaber. Torres is there. He hits a three-run home run to left. And the Yankees take a 5-4 lead.
WFAN, John Sterling. What a day for Gleyber Torres. That three-run homer, an earlier solo shot, a single, a double, four hits, four RBIs. Luke Voit, who hit a three-run homer in the first inning of the first game and had done basically nothing since, hit a three-run shot in the ninth. Yankees beat the Orioles 8-4. The win to New Yank James Paxton, who settled down after a first inning where he gave up a home run and had a balking wild pitch with the bases loaded. Mets home opener. Bats were quiet. They lost to Washington and Steven Strasburg 4-0. Michael Conforto asked about a 1 o'clock start in New York after playing the night before in Miami.
We saw the schedule. You know, we knew what was coming, so there's no room for excuses in here. I hate to use that as an excuse. We're grown men and we're professionals. We can show up and do the job.
Mets and Yankees both off today. Second time this season a pitcher lifted while working on a no-hitter. Trevor Bauer in Cleveland, 7 innings in, but his pitch count 109. Bauer in 2 starts has hurled 14 innings, has allowed 1 hit. Islanders 2-1 shootout win at Florida. They're 2 points ahead of Pittsburgh, who they'll face in the playoffs as Washington clinched the division. The Devils lost 3-1 at Carolina. Texas won the NIT. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, tonight on the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show, we'll try to make sense of why the upstart Alliance for American Football failed. For that, we'll speak with former AAF quarterback Jack Hannigan. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio or on the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. This is Daybreak. The Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European equities are gaining following signs of progress in U.S.-China trade talks. It was a muted session in Asia today with stocks posting modest gains. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Chinese markets on the mainland in Taiwan and Hong Kong were all closed for the Qingming Festival, meaning the MSCI Asia Pacific Index was virtually unchanged. But importantly, it's gained more than 1.5% over the course of the week. Japanese shares rose with the Nikkei 225 up 0.4% on the close in Tokyo to 21,807 points. However, Australian stocks fell. Elsewhere, the KOSPI closed 0.1% higher. Heavyweight Samsung delivering its worst operating profit drop in more than 4 years, buffeted by falling memory chip prices and slowing smartphone sales. However, market reaction was muted as Samsung had already flagged the poor result last month. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 4 points, Dow futures up 34, NASDAQ futures up about 15. The DAX in Germany is lower, down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.52%, yield on the 2-year 2.34%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $62.12 a barrel, and COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.70 to $12.92.60 an ounce. And we are watching for the March jobs report today out at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump is threatening to slap tariffs on cars coming to the U.S. from Mexico unless Mexico does more to stop the flow of migrants trying to enter the U.S. President Trump had threatened to close down the border this week, but he backtracked yesterday. He will visit the border today during a trip to California. Ex-Trump lawyer Michael Cohen is offering to turn over hard drive files to congressional Democrats in a bid for leniency before he starts his 3-year prison sentence next month. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 8-4. The Mets lost their home opener. They were shut out by the Nationals 4-0. The Red Sox lost to the A's 7-3. In the NHL, the Islanders won in a shootout. The Devils lost. The Bruins were winners. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. That means we're 3 hours and 10 minutes away from the release of the March non-farm payrolls report. Ahead of that, we are joined this morning by Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Always good to talk with you on a Jobs Friday, Mark, especially on one that came after, or that is coming after the downside surprise we got in February. I got to think you're going to be watching the March print pretty closely.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mystery. It's not unusual for us to get a rogue number this time of year, even though we had that small 20,000 gain in February. You know, there's a wide range of what could happen in March and in April, but we're looking for a general kind of normal kind of number, 170,000 increase in non-farm payrolls and unemployment rate to remain at 3.8% and kind of a modest gain in wages, 0.2%. I mean, it seems like most of the employment data, like the weekly jobless claims, for example, continue to improve. So we should expect to be around what the current trend has been.
Now, March tends to come in fairly low. Are you thinking that this time it might be a little bit higher just because of the interesting number we got in February?
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a reversion to the mean, and the trend actually has been stronger than 170 per month. But I just want to remind folks that there is a tendency for March to be a weird month, and if it's not, April is. But we tend to get one kind of way out there kind of number, and it could be strong, it could be weak. And this March is a little unusual. Easter comes very late this year. The next time Easter comes this late won't be until 2031. So that's that pulls a little bit of activity out of the first quarter and puts it into the second quarter.
So are you thinking then that the Fed is going to need a little bit more time, a little bit more information, especially in terms of payroll numbers before they decide whether they're going to take their finger off the pause button on rates?
Yes, I can't imagine that there would be anything in this number, at least from a positive standpoint, that would put them back in the direction of raising rates. You know, they have to look at a whole lot more data than that. I think that they're looking in the entirety of what's going on in the economy. They're looking at the inflation numbers that have been decelerating. That suggests that growth is losing momentum. And also, I think it's important to look at the breadth of the employment gains. And that's one of the things that stood out last month, that even though we only had a 20,000 gain in non-farm payrolls, the gains were actually fairly broad-based. It was the low number was due to the big swing that we saw in just a couple of components.
Well, what about the wage number as it comes in today? I mean, that's got to factor into the Fed's thinking on what's happening with inflation. I mean, we haven't seen much wage pressure on inflation at this point.
Yeah, that's why I just don't know that there's much. I mean, it's certainly if we had a 7 or 8/10% increase in wages, that would open their eyes. But I don't think it would prompt them to do anything, because what we're seeing is that even though we've had a little bit of a run up in wages, which you would expect to see with a labor market this tight, it hasn't passed on through prices. And the PCE deflator and the consumer price index have both decelerated over the last few months. That suggests demand's cooling.
So does that suggest that the non-farm payroll print is becoming less important a factor for the Fed as it decides on its path?
Well, I think it's never going to be. It's always the most important number of the month. But right now, the Fed is, when they say they're data dependent, they're dependent on the entirety of the data. And if we get if we continue to see strong employment reports, that really just takes us back to where we were. And that was an economy that was very strong job growth, but not generating any inflationary pressure. And I don't think that's enough, given the uncertain world that we're in right now, where we still don't know how Brexit's going to play out. We've got a lot of elections coming up in Europe. And we've got this China trade deal, which is looking promising, but it looked promising before. And so I don't know that there's a whole lot that we could see in today's number that would change the Fed's view on things. I think that they're on hold through the middle of this year, because whatever we're seeing in the jobs data is not impacting the inflation data.
All right. Well, thanks for offering us your view this morning. Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Again, the March non-farm payrolls report out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Ahead of that, futures pointing to a higher open with S&P futures up almost 4 points. Dow futures ahead by 35 points. NASDAQ futures up 14 and a half. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Renaissance Capital, issuer of IPO ETFs and pre-IPO research, putting newly public companies to work in investor portfolios. To learn more, visit renaissancecapital.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher following signs of progress on trade talks between the U.S. and China, with President Trump taking up prospects for a monumental agreement. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The president at once lowered the immediate prospects but raised the ultimate stakes about as high as he could get, calling it maybe the biggest deal ever made.
This is the granddaddy of them all. And we'll see if it happens.
He said any final agreement is probably still weeks away, but trade rep Robert Lighthizer said major issues remain. Trump said those include intellectual property protection, tariffs, and how a deal will be enforced. Still, the talks, he said, are rounding the turn.
We've agreed to far more than we have left to agree to.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. Meanwhile, China's vice premier says there is consensus on the text of a new trade agreement, and Chinese President Xi Jinping is pushing for a rapid conclusion. Talks continue again today in Washington.
In less than 3 hours from now, we get the employment report for March. Bloomberg's Michael McKee has a preview.
The lousy 20,000 jobs created in February has changed investors' focus for the March report to payrolls instead of hourly earnings. A rebound is forecast. Most analysts say February was more likely noise than signal. While job creation should slow late in the business cycle, anything remotely similar to February would set off recession warning bells. In Washington, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. In the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May is requesting for a delay to Brexit, asking European Council President Donald Tusk to put off the UK's exit until June 30th. That's after reports that Tusk is proposing a 12-month extension. JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon is weighing in on the situation.
A hard Brexit will be a really bad recession in Britain. It'll be not so great for Europe. It won't affect America that much. So it's not an earth-shattering thing. It's just a bad idea.
And on the earnings front, Samsung Electronics has reported its worst operating profit drop in more than 4 years. The South Korea-based company was hurt by falling memory chip prices and slowing smartphone sales.
And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper, named Best Global Accounting Firm for the third year in a row by HedgeWeek, a leading hedge fund industry publication. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/FS. S&P futures are up 4 points, Dow futures up 34, NASDAQ futures up 15. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.52%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has arrived to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump heads to the southern border today. The president will head to Calexico, California, right on the U.S.-Mexico border to look at a border wall. Meanwhile, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen is calling for more border barriers, as she says her agency is in disaster response due to an uptick of migrants. Nielsen spoke to CNN.
In this case, what it would do is it would have the effect of encouraging those families and children to go to ports of entry and not take the journey through remote areas. So the barriers are actually important because it helps make sure that we have a safe and orderly flow.
The ACLU announced it's filed a motion to immediately stop construction of the president's border wall. The motion is part of the lawsuit filed in February challenging the president's national emergency declaration. President Trump says his lawyers will answer questions about his tax returns. During a meeting with the Chinese vice premier, President Trump was asked if he'll direct the IRS commissioner not to comply with the formal request by the House Ways and Means Committee chair.
They'll speak to my lawyers. They'll speak to the attorney general.
Will you direct the IRS to do that?
They'll speak to my lawyers and they'll speak to the attorney general.
President Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, wants to give congressional Democrats more information in return for help in delaying the start of his 3-year prison sentence next month, or even reducing it. Cohen's lawyers wrote to lawmakers that Cohen has recently been able to access a hard drive with 14 million files from his computers and telephones that they believe have significant value to investigators. There are more reports that members of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team are sharing frustrations with how Attorney General William Barr is handling their report on the Russia investigation. Now the Washington Post is reporting that an associate of the Mueller team says the report is much more acute than Barr suggested. But Senator Lindsey Graham says he has no concerns with the Barr summary.
He's not stupid. Why would he do that? He's dedicated his whole life to the law. Why would he give a summary that doesn't accurately reflect the conclusions?
Graham says, though, he wants the report to come out publicly. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashow.
Nathan, baseball back at Citi Field. The crowd for the home opener, over 44,000, second largest ever for a regular season game, but the Mets held the 4 harmless singles. Shut out by Washington, 4-0. Steven Strasburg the win. Noah Syndergaard took the loss, though he only gave up one hit. Rookie first baseman Pete Alonso didn't like the outcome, but enjoyed his new home.
It's special. It's an amazing environment to play in, and I mean, seeing all the seats filled, it was wonderful, and I can't wait to play the whole season here. I mean, this is exciting, and I mean, yes, yeah, it's awesome playing here.
They'll be back there tomorrow. Yankees also off today after a much-needed 8-4 win at Baltimore, down 3-0, later 4-1. They were looking at a 2-5 record, 1-3 versus the lowly Orioles, but the bats finally came alive. 2 home runs for Gleyber Torres. His solo shot got him on the board. His 3-run blast put him ahead. Torres had 4 hits, 4 RBIs. Gary Sanchez and Luke Voit also homered. James Paxton, his first Yankee win. Red Sox still haven't been in Boston. Starting a series today at Arizona. World Series champs lost at Oakland 7-3. They're now 2-6. Stanley Cup playoffs begin next week. The Islanders, who won 2-1 in a shootout at Florida, had their hopes of winning the division come to an end when Washington clinched. The goal now is to secure home ice in the first round. The Isles 2 points ahead of Pittsburgh. Carolina clinched a playoff berth, beating the Devils 3-1. Texas won the NIT at the Garden 81-66 over Lipscomb. The Final Four starts tomorrow in Minneapolis. Virginia plays Auburn. Michigan State against Texas Tech. You can hear both games on Bloomberg 1130 starting at 4:30. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on unicorns spreading fear of an end to the bull market. Also in this week's issue, how one man became the face of big, bad energy. Devin Leonard wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
This is a story all about Kelsey Warren. He's the CEO and chairman of Energy Transfer. And basically, Energy Transfer was sort of part of this whole sort of corporate empire. He had a pipeline empire.
You can read more about that empire and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Happy Friday, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Same to you, Nathan. Amtrak executives say a new rail tunnel linking New York and New Jersey has to be built sooner rather than later, and the cost should be shared between the states, the railroad, and the federal government. The Gateway project's locked up in a stalemate over funding. Commodities hedge fund manager Pierre Anderon closed his firm's New York office after a tough trading year in 2018. Sources tell Bloomberg he plans to focus on his offices in London and Malta. Some portfolio managers and staff have reportedly left the firm recently. And New Jersey's unemployment trust fund has improved in recent years. In fact, it's become a good source of tax relief for businesses. NJ Spotlight says the tax relief is leading to more hiring and investment in the state. It says companies that regularly pay into the trust fund are saving $263 million this fiscal year. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Okay, Ed, thank you. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Centene said the proposed takeover of WellCare will require unloading health plans in Nebraska.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, consumer advocate Ralph Nader, who lost a relative in last month's crash of a Boeing 737 MAX 8, is calling for a recall of the plane, while the victim's parents sue Boeing for negligence.
I'm Anna Edwards. On Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London, we're following UK house prices as they dropped in March amidst continued Brexit uncertainty.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're watching shares of Snap as it gets into the video game business.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Google has scrapped an outside counsel set up to evaluate its AI efforts.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Some other stories we're following. A federal judge has given Tesla CEO Elon Musk and the SEC 2 weeks to work out their social media differences. Regulators claim Musk violated a settlement with a tweet about Tesla in February. They want him found in contempt of court. Judge questioned the terms of the settlement. She wants it reworked so there won't be any question about what Musk is allowed to post. And investors can relax over who will control Amazon once the world's richest person gets divorced. CEO Jeff Bezos will retain 75% of the stock in the company he shared with his ex-wife. This is Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Marks Paneth, LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and today we are looking out for the March employment report, which is due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a gain of 177,000 jobs. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dale Giudice reports.
Data from payroll provider ADP indicate hiring slowed across the U.S. over the past 2 months. Bloomberg Economics cautions against being overly pessimistic about the outlook, though, even with recent signs of moderation. The U.S. economy added the fewest jobs since 2017 in February, but more recent data show jobless claims fell to the lowest in almost 50 years in the closing week of March. Vinnie Dale Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. Ahead of that report, futures are higher, treasuries are slipping. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points, Dow futures up 31, NASDAQ futures up 17. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year treasury down 4/32, yield 2.52%, yield on the 2-year 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil little changed at $62.10 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed down 80 cents to $12.93.50 an ounce. The euro at 1.1229 against the dollar, and the yen at 111.71. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump, fresh off ending his threat to immediately shut down the border with Mexico, heads to Calexico, California. He'll inspect the border wall today. Trump ex-lawyer Michael Cohen says he recently obtained 10 years of data and will turn over the hard drive files in a bid for leniency from his 3-year prison sentence. Former Vice President Joe Biden is set to make his first public appearance today since women came forward about uncomfortable touching. Biden will speak to the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Washington. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles. The Mets lost their home opener to the Nationals. The Red Sox lost to the A's. In the NHL, the Islanders won in overtime. The Devils lost. The Bruins were winners. And in the NBA, the Warriors won. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan is with me now from our London bureau. And, Jen, of course, we all know about the rough patch that the Eurozone is going through. James Bianco writes this morning that the European Central Bank has the potential to make an already bad situation worse in Europe. What's he concerned about?
This is the talk that it could start buying corporate bonds again. And the worry he has is that these purchases, which is we've seen them before, distort the cost of money and allow companies to make questionable decisions. So sort of the normal order of service is that if you've got a company that's got a plan that requires funding, capitalists will not part with their money until they see that the plan is in fact credible. But for the ECB, Bianco points out that the rules are quite a bit laxer. So there's no considerations in what it buys that, you know, to have regard for things like coverage ratios, debt to equity percentages. Really what the ECB does is leave these issues to the credit rating companies. And the key thing there is that just a borrower has an investment grade credit rating. This is not a good move because as we saw with the difficulties in the housing market that led to the Great Recession, there's a lesson to be learned from relying on credit rating agencies. And this doesn't seem to have been learned at the ECB.
Interesting. Well, what do we know about the ECB's holdings thus far?
Well, it's disturbingly secretive. So the ECB will publish a list of company debt that it holds, but not the amounts. And so Bianco takes aim at this because it looks like there's a couple of borrowers in there who have engaged what he considers to be really, controversial transactions. And it looks like there's ECB funding that supported it. And perhaps these transactions ought not to have seen the light of day. One of them, for example, is Bayer and its purchase of Monsanto in 2016. That was always going to be controversial because it was always going to require billions of dollars. And we can see now that the purchase has been nothing but problematic. And Bianco says that the ECB really should have known better.
Well, what does the ECB say about it?
Well, it has done a study of the impact of its corporate purchasing program. And what it finds is that the side effects on corporate financing and market functioning in general has been rather scarce. But Bianco says this is just the ECB falling into the trap of mistaking brains with a bull market, because really buying bonds when things are good is, of course, going to show good results. But the question is, what are the distortions that have been introduced into the market to encourage companies to engage in questionable behavior? And this is why we've got to really worry about another round of corporate bond purchases.
All right. Well, moving on from the potential for bond buying at the ECB to the rental market in Europe, Leonid Brzezinski is looking at that this morning, particularly in Berlin. And for those listeners who think the New York City rental market is tough, Brzezinski's saying that Berlin's a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting story. So on Saturday, tomorrow, signature collection is going to begin for a citywide referendum on whether to nationalize the residential properties that are owned by big landlords. So the activists argue that these landlords are driving up rents and making housing unaffordable for ordinary Berliners. This movement actually gets a lot of sympathy. The target is a company called Deutsche Wohnen, and the protesters have held rallies, hung posters outside their windows, and they gain a lot of traction because 85% of residents rent their dwelling in Berlin, and the median asking rent for new tenants has gone up by 54% since 2011.
Wow. I mean, is there any merit to the tenants' concerns?
Well, think about it from the company's point of view. Raising rent, you know, they say that they're not trying to kick tenants out. But Brzezinski points out that raising rents isn't how it really makes money. I mean, last year, the company would have recorded a loss had it not added about 3 billion euros to its bottom line from marketing the value of its properties to market. The Berlin rental market is really hot, so it makes sense to buy properties for the revaluation profits than endure squeezing out well-protected tenants just to squeeze an extra 2 percentage points of rent out of them.
What is the Berlin city government making of all this?
Well, whether or not the referendum goes ahead, there's a plan to buy back many of the apartment blocks that it earlier sold on to private owners. And you know, the mayor calls the privatizations a mistake, but he doesn't want to use the term expropriation because this is going to cost Berlin hundreds of millions of euros. But Brzezinski's point is, if the city has so much money available for nationalizations, why not use its money and regulatory powers to step up construction, which would go a long way to easing the strains in the Berlin market?
All right. Bloomberg Opinion Editor Jennifer Ryan, thank you as always. Enjoy the weekend. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal, Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
A federal jury says Apple did not infringe on two 4G wireless technology patents held by Evolved Wireless. Evolved had sought royalties after suing the technology giant in 2015. Ways and Means Committee Chairman Richard Neal's relatively narrow request for several of President Donald Trump's business returns could be just the first step in unraveling the president's business empire. And U.S. exporters will lose their ability to take a deduction on foreign-derived income if they're unable to prove to the IRS that the exports were intended for foreign use.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. And now another legal story we're watching this morning. House Democrats formally demanding that the IRS turn over 6 years of personal and business tax returns for President Trump. That's setting the stage for a legal clash with the White House. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Chicago Kent College of Law Dean Harold Krent.
Harold, this is a request to the IRS, ignoring what may happen behind the scenes to influence this decision. Does Trump have any special power as president to stop the IRS from turning over the tax returns?
There's really no clear legal claim in defense, but he says he's going to block it, and so his lawyers will probably be trying to think of a creative way to not comply with the request. And this is 1924 law. We don't have a lot of precedents from it, but it seems clear that upon request of from the right committee, Ways and Means, that the president must turn over the information.
Politico reports that the Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee spent months shaping a legal argument that they felt could win in court, and they had extensive research and frequent consultations with the House counsel. And the chair, Richard Neal, relied on, as you say, a rather obscure provision in the federal tax code. And in making the request, he framed it as being about oversight. Explain why that's important here.
There was sort of an understanding that Congress has, the request has to be pertinent to a legitimate function of Congress, which is either investigating wrongdoing or to ensure that the tax code is faithfully carried out. And so in crafting the message, the committee wanted to make sure that if it goes to a court challenge, that the court would say, well, this is pertinent to a legitimate and important congressional oversight function, and therefore there is, you know, reason to require the president to comply.
And that's Chicago Kent College of Law Dean Harold Krent speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And again, futures this morning are higher with S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 36 and NASDAQ futures up 17. 10-year treasury down 3/32, yield 2.52%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.34%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.